It's great to see everyone out tonight. Glad to have a lot of family and visitors here for the holidays. And we want to say thank you for me and Sarah for y'all making us feel so welcome here, being new. And y'all are a really warm group, and I just wanted to say thank you before we get started tonight. In our college Bible class, we've been talking about Bible authority and how we go about establishing that authority. And so tonight, one of the things that we've been looking at was the difference between the old law and the new law, the old covenant and the new covenant. And tonight I want to take a minute and look at that. If you would please turn back with me to Jeremiah chapter 31, begin reading in verse 31 that Hardy read for us earlier. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord." So here we see that we do have an old covenant and a new covenant. And the new covenant is what we are under today. First thing I would like to look at is how punishment was carried out under the old law for the sins that they committed. If you would please turn with me to Leviticus chapter 10, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Leviticus chapter 10 in verse 1. "Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. So Aaron held his peace." Nadab and Abihu had brought strange fire before the Lord. They didn't treat him as holy. And the result of that, they were killed. God did not take exception to them. He was to be regarded as holy, and they didn't follow that. And they had a very physical consequence for that. Please turn with me now to 2 Samuel chapter 6. We'll begin reading in verse 7. 2 Samuel chapter 6, beginning in verse 7. "Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Peres, Uzzah, to this day." We all know, under the old law, they weren't supposed to carry the Ark of the Covenant on a cart. They were supposed to have poles in it, and there was very clear instructions on how the Ark of the Covenant was to be transported. They didn't follow those commands, and they carried it on a cart, and whenever it stumbled, and Uzzah went to try to stabilize it, he was struck dead. Here again, we see a very physical punishment for a sin that was committed. Would you please now turn with me to Numbers chapter 15, and verse 32. Numbers chapter 15 and verse 32. "Now while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, the man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. So as the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died." In the Ten Commandments, they were supposed to keep the Sabbath day holy. And that was a day that you were not to work. This man had broke that. And here again we see there's a very physical punishment that happened for those sins. Final one that I'd like to look at is whenever the Israelites were going to conquer Ai. If you would please turn with me to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7, beginning in verse 19. "Now Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels. I coveted them and took them, and there they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was hidden in his tent and with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the temple, brought them to Joshua and all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan and the son Zerah, the silver, the garments, and the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them. So here again, we see a very physical, very, very physical repercussion for the sins that they did. And if we go back and we look at the sins, we have Nadab and Abihu. They didn't treat God as holy. We have we have Achan coveting the things. Those are sins that we can still commit today. But is that the way that we're treated whenever we commit our sins? That's what I'd like to look at next, is how does the new law deal with the sins? If you would, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 1. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged as though I were present him who has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together with my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Here we have a very grotesque sin that was being committed. But instead, we don't see what we saw in the old law, of where it was a physical punishment. We see them trying to use physical things to hurt them, but to bring their spirit back. Would please turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. Beginning in verse 18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. Of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Here again we see that the people were delivered to Satan. They weren't physically harmed, but they were trying to bring them back spiritually. If you would please turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. We'll look at the example of what Jesus says for us to do people whenever they are sinning. Matthew chapter 18. In verse 15, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Here we see the example of what Jesus tells us to do. That if we have someone that's sinning against us, we're not to go get up a bunch of stones and stone them. We're supposed to try to restore them. We're supposed to try to go to them. So to me, we should use this as an example of us whenever we have issues with others. And even with our own sin, how we should be expected to be treated by others. So we know kind of how we're supposed to deal with sin, but the main application that I'd like to look at tonight is How do we get forgiveness of these sins? So if you would please turn with me to Romans chapter 6, and we begin reading in verse 1. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. We have forgiveness of our sins through Jesus. Continuing on in verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. We're slaves to sin without Christ. There's nothing that we can do without him. We need Christ, and he is the way that we have forgiveness of these sins. If you would please turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. One thing we saw in the Old Testament was that it was very immediate. If somebody messed up, they were dealt with right then. To me, this passage is comforting to me in my life. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God isn't looking just for Taylor to mess up so he can zap down a bolt of lightning and get me. That's not what he's looking for. God wants me to come back and repent, and to be able to make it to heaven. And that's a huge comfort to me. So if we do sin, what do we need to do to make that right? If you would please turn with me to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's a reason why we're to confess our sins. It helps us to get over those, and it also helps build relationships. Like I was saying earlier, the family that we have here. Now, it's awesome you can go to different parts of the world, and everybody who reads the same book can end up at the same conclusion, and you're a family. Even though we don't share blood together, we're still a family, and we can help each other through our sins. If you would please turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We begin reading in verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, though it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on the account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in him, in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If we are in Jesus, there is no condemnation in us. I want to draw a very simple conclusion from everything that we've looked at. We're under the new law today. We're not under the old law. We have our salvation through Christ, and it's because of him we can have a hope of eternal life. It's very basic steps to get to him. If you come and you believe and you have the faith that he died for you, then you can have access to eternal life through him. So tonight, that's what I want to leave you with. If there's anyone here tonight that needs to be baptized and enter into a relationship with him, you can do that at this time. Or if there's anyone here who has sinned publicly and needs the prayers of the congregation, needs to ask for forgiveness, we're here with open arms. If there's anyone that needs to respond to the invitation this time, please come forward to stand and sing.